Hits from the bong.
Welcome to Bongversations, episode two with Rick and the wonderful, controversial Dave J. He just popped in the room.
Cheers.
There he is. Hey, man. Yep. I'm in a beautiful blue sky, natural clouds, puffy looking normal ones floating past.
Nice.
All the way in the bottom of the plane. Somehow I'm down the bottom, upside down, and Dave's up the top there in Arizona. I believe. Fantastic.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Wonderful. In the desert. On a horse, no name. Yeah,
excellent.
You know that. Oh, I did a cover for that horse with no name on one of my mini albums, one of my mini musical albums. I did a cover of Horse with No Name. You might be
interested. Very mysterious song.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's episode two, but we're going to be talking about three, and you can just go off. You were mentioning to talk about go.
The idea of incantation, just what you were saying, talking. So a written or recited formula of words, right? Or even, or pictures or drawing symbols, signs. And that's designed to produce a particular effect. So that's an incantation. So the idea of, witchcraft, the idea of bringing in a ring. So then incantation, or it's like also creating a gateway. So with,
Portal, would that be a portal as well?
Portal's a gateway. Yeah, absolutely, Rick.
Yep.
And then, so within Wicca, within really all so-called faiths and religions, you have the idea of the three. Within Wicca, you have like the maiden, the mother, and the crone. The crone being the old hag. That is represented in Wizard of Oz as the good or the evil witch idea.
Yeah.
The top. And then you have the three within the Indian idea of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. And then the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and the idea of the Greek. With the three faiths that weave destiny, the spinner, the allotter, the inflexible.
And there's an old folk saying. The original folk saying was all good things come in threes, but they've changed that, didn't they? So you got that changed it so it's all bad things come in threes now. They seem to
It's all intent. It's intent.
Right.
Yeah, it's the idea of what intent are you bringing when you offer the ring? Because imagine this, Rick, if you had an empty, just a white space, there's no doors, no windows, you're just standing in a white space, and then a ring appears. That is the first time that three appears, because you have the idea, you're looking around, you have the concern for, you're looking, wondering where you're at, and then a ring appears. That then becomes an item or an option of your pursuit. Right. So then the three is also the idea. If you write the third spot in the Phoenician alphabet, which is really going back to the idea of the Jews who claim to be Jews, but are not. Can I quote two Bible verses that encapsulate who these people are?
Yes.
One being Revelation 2:9, which is the idea of 9:11, 9 plus 2. It is, I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now, I also want to then quote the second one, which is Revelation 3:9, which says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, Satan, S-A-Y-10, the idea of giving the false input-output or misleading mankind, which say they are Jews, but are not, but do lie, L-I-E. That means they lie to you. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. That means it will be known to them that God had love for those that they were lying to while they thought they were doing their God's will, which they were, they're doing their God's will, which is the G. Because remember I told you in Phoenician, the third spot is the idea of what you see as a seven scribe. If you were to write a seven right now, that's what that's what the third letter looks like in Phoenician. And so therefore in English, the G is the seventh letter. That is why in Masonic art, you see the reverence of the idea of the G.
Yeah, it's huge. All right. It's all over the place, isn't it? Yeah.
So then also, Rick, let's move into the movies, like ideas and plays. You have the magic trick, which is the pledge, the turn, the prestige. That's the three. You have in a movie, you have the idea of the setup, the confrontation.
Is prestige the revolution. Third? Which is prestige is the third of the magicians.
Yep. And that's also where that's the money shot. That's where the money's made. Yep. If there's nothing there, that you're not coming back the second time. Then you have the three acts of a movie or a play, the idea of the setup, the confrontation, and the resolution.
Three cheers.
Yeah. And with an alchemy, you have the idea of the triangle, the three angles or the union of opposites. If you notice a triangle, if you take your two gun fingers and make sevens out of them, when you bring them together, you make a triangle. That's how the two sevens create that triangle and also represent the union of opposites, the idea of light, which is one, two being the concern, two plus one is three. Three is the acceptance, the reaction, and then what leads you to Dalet or the four. That's that next one we'll talk about.
Was it so? Had spell the four one again. How do you spell Dalet?
D-A-L-E-T. They can look it up on Google, man.
Yeah, no, so no, anyway, just in case, keep it simple.
Yeah, they can look it up on Google. It's just the Hebrew letter.
Got it.
The reason being because you.
Hang on, after the break.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
You're listening to Bong Conversation number two. Yeah. It's Sunday, my end, and Saturday, probably your end, Dave. I'm time traveling again. I'm in the future, you're in the past. Yeah.
Yep.
I can tell you, it's blue skies are in your future.
Very nice.
Be told.
Very nice.
Anyway, let's get back onto this incantation, the three.
Well, yeah. Remember when I told you about the alchemy and the triangle? If you make your two your gun fingers, you put them together, you make the triangle.
Yes.
Now, if you turn those sideways, you can create a door. That's the idea of the Dalet or the doorway. So then the 2-7. Because what happens if what's 7 plus 7? All right,
14.
What's 4 plus 1? 5. The idea of your five senses. Therefore, once your body is owned by that ring, which we're talking about tonight, the idea of the ring, if that ring takes you into itself, you are going to then, that incantation is going to take you for a ride. Now, the three, can let me give you a little bit more on kind of colors, and you can add something if something rings.
How many colors to a rainbow? Is it five as well?
No. You have blue, black, the idea of what the black and the blue is bruised. So, you got beat black and blue. It's also the idea of fact and law, or like the idea of truth and lie. It's the separation, right? So then, like the three is the first moment that your thought. All right, the light that this thing that you're offering, it may be a news story, what a breaking news. You see, if you see something on a screen that says breaking news,
with a red flashing line.
So it becomes, and I put becomes in quotes because it becomes a power that goes into you. And then at the point of capture, if it captures you to where you want to go flutter after it, that's the symbolism of the butterfly. Because you're fluttering after this light aimlessly because it's a false light and you're going to wind up getting zapped. All right.
That's one of your drawings, isn't it?
Yeah.
The butterfly.
Well, yeah. I always, if I do a drawing, I always do the butter. If you see the butterfly, that's what that means.
Yeah.
It's always what that means. But it also is, that's what it always means, that in so-called symbology or folklore. When you see a story,
interesting, King Charles, yeah. King Charles had the butterfly on that weird painting of him. King Charles, on his left-hand side, there was the monarch butterfly hovering on his, and that big giant controversial painting that was done this year. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, you're good to go. I just wanted to kind of get to that point because this is now I'm kind of past the numbers bit. You see how I can assign the three to a bunch of different faiths and religions and movie making, act making, magic making. It all shares that same three, so that therefore means something. All right, and that is the idea of your attention hitting. It's a dinner bell is the shape of a triangle. The dinner bell gets rung. Do you go after that story? So then what are some of the stories? You know, like I was going to talk to you about The Exorcist or The Close Encounters or the...
Well, we can do it. We'll start with The
Butch Exorcist. Cassidy.
We'll bring that up. But I was just going to say, saying that even the impossible requires a trinity. Three planes drawn at right angles to each other are the minimum required to produce figures like this tri-bar. This is I'll take a photo of it, but it's an infinity symbol with a triangle, basically. Very interesting. But the three is incredibly...
Let's talk about the three real quick. Draw it in your head or draw it on a piece of paper right then. Draw a line directly in the horizontal line directly in the center, and then fold the three over onto itself. It creates a circle.
Yeah,
it's the eye. You have to remember that this is the idea of. Remember when Christ refers to the priestly class as a brood of vipers. The idea. Have you seen a bunch of snakes together? How they're crawling all over each other?
Yeah,
it's the idea that as soon as somebody gets their arm, head, and maybe that second possible arm up, the brood is going to drag them back down into the abyss with them. Because also in the idea of Babel, the Anu, Bel, and Ea, or Enki, you have the idea of heaven, earth, and abyss. So even within all that nonsense,
it's all the three.
It's all the same because it's describing a transition.
Yeah.
Right. Which can be, and it's shown simply as black and white, truth and fiction, truth and lie. There one is not like the other, and one cannot exist with the other. That's where that separation is made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic.
Anyway, I don't want to get there. Wait till the seven show. Forget about
that's
it.
That's right. Yeah, we'll get there.
Set your calendars. Be ready for it. Wake up early.
God Almighty, the seven. Yeah, I can just imagine. All right. Well, we'll talk about the space thing that I picked up on this week. I was sitting in a cafe reading the paper, and blow me down, I saw the two astronauts up in the Boeing, boing, boing, the same noise as something makes boing. When it drops on the ground. Boing, they're up in the Boeing.
Are they bringing Butch, back a baby?
Yeah, Butch and Sonny were up there, and I went, Butch and Sonny? This is clearly referencing this Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
American Western buddy film.
Buddy film, who they get killed in the end. But the thing is, this is it.
Oh, in the actual story, did you know I looked that up
they
for
escaped.
You?
I think they escaped
I looked
to
it
Mexico.
Up for you. I looked it up for you. They even in the official story, the storyline, they never claim to have found the bodies. Just so you can take that corpse off. Your back. Go ahead, continue on.
Oh no, but all right. In 1970, 6 years of age, number six, or thereabouts. I went to see that movie when it first came out. And
77.
I can remember. I walked out '69.
Well, it's actually 8 if you add both.
It came out in 1970, 71. Yeah, so I'd have been very young. But I remember watching the end of that because the ending, you don't see them actually die, but you just hear the guns going off. And as you walked out of the cinema, I remember the poster being up on the wall, and the poster is of the end scene of these two. Now, what I'm suggesting is that there's a deeper mythological part of this whole story that they're redoing again. Because one of the things that has perplexed me for many years, Dave, This, why would they use a sloppy romantic song like Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head in a Western movie, which had no relevance to the actual story? It was just a puff piece in the middle where him and that beautiful Catherine, whatever her name is, cycle around on a bike. Now, I'm suggesting that this rehashing of the story, just like the D.B. Cooper one, myth, Catherine Ross, beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. Is it a man?
Oh, I don't know about that. I was at the Aetna place. He'll say, "Have you been being bad today, boy?" He's like, "No, I was over at the Aetna place." That was in the movie.
Fantastic. Good info there. I always remember thinking, why would they do this? You know, because it's boring. The most boring part of the movie is him in slow motion with raindrops keep falling on my head. But in neuro-linguistic programming, every time you think of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, you'll think of raindrops keep falling on your head if you saw that movie, guaranteed. It was the number one hit. Now, well, I'm suggesting these two...
Look at what you just said, Rick. You just put the connection together. One, let's look at the symbology going off the cliff, but not actually giving you the ending. You make that up in your own head. You assume that happened. So then what does that do? Bring you in a state of mourning. So then what are you, you're looking for the raindrops. So that idea is associated with mourning. Oh, it's raining outside. My day's ruined. Blah, blah, blah. Shut up.
Yeah.
Instead of running around and instead of running around and dancing around the pole, you're acting. It's the idea of assigning a feeling of mourning to a natural event. In this case, raindrops falling on your head.
That's right. Well, I'm suggesting. I'm just stepping out IPS level. You know, this is the kind of thing that they do over there. But they never picked up on this whatsoever over there. That when the story obviously comes to its conclusion and the actors, you know, go off, Sonny and Butch go off and, assume different roles in the next sting. Get that one. There's a bit of a witticism there. The next sting operation. That was a sequel. Oh, sorry, the movie that they did afterwards. There's going to be some form of space nightmare crash, lock them down. You can't go outside, space falling onto your head. Butch and Sonny, you know, dying in the sky. I mean, obviously there's a deeper level of myth in that film, which is the cowboy movie. And the fact they're bringing it up again, it's so blatant, Dave, that they call them Butch and Sonny. I mean, how many people do you know named Butch anymore? I mean,
idea of Sunita. Sunny goes back to the idea of Sunita, which is the idea of Tamil or Tamil. T-A-M-I-L, which is an idea of the Brahmin caste in India, which just so happens to be the same caste that the Harris character is from. All right?
Interesting. And
so these are that's the priest class, which their rituals are that to bring the idea of the Vedas, or the idea of the nature of reality and consciousness.
So we're tying in another Hindi myth here, and we're going in. We've got this Carmilla character, Kamala character, straight out Hindu. The name Kamala is, you know, you can look into that as well. And the fact she's got that maniacal laugh that looks like she's about to slice heads off, and all these arms are going to pop out from behind her back. And she's going to have eight arms with all this Indian creature.
Remember, I told you I put out a what was it? It was a post on Godlike Productions. I titled it. It was on 7/7 before the character went into the number 10 Downing Street, if that's what they call it. I put a post called 10 Little Indians. And I told them what was gonna happen and how that character was gonna be brought into office to make certain things happen, and it of course it happened, and not because anyone can see the future per se. It's if you pay attention to the script, however, you can see by reading what's coming next. Yeah. You know, so it's not so what, and so it's the idea of going to. And I was who was I talking to? Maybe Joel. But let's say that if I go to or maybe it was you, but if I go to the Philippines, let's say, to an island where there is no, let's say, cell phone or Western influence on this, that, or the other thing.
Fantastic. I'd love to go there.
But then I bring that and influence that into that culture, that corruption is going to magnify tenfold, at least, because otherwise, if I had not done that, they would have been immune from that. So do you see how the idea of influence or incantation is a shared idea, meaning this, the way that you've been doing it naturally is not right. You can do it this way, which is more fun, more lazy, more exciting, and of course then brings you into these
ideas. Like fishing with grenades.
The idea of bringing you into knowledge. And the knowledge is the idea that these different characters, remember, if you looked at the idea, we were talking three before, even the you have three Masonic levels, 1, 2, 3 up to Master Mason, but then you have the degrees, which are not above your head. They're around you. Think of a compass. So you stand up 1, 2, 3 and you do your little salute, your little Nazi salute, and you do your little degrees.
Yeah,
that's the idea of a human compass. And then when your character points to a certain direction, you are told a story of that direction. It's all nonsense. It's all BS.
Speaking of symbology and things like that, and we were talking about last week. Look, if you ask for truth, you will find it, and you will be aware of that and some of asking for it sometimes, because everything you see will not be this. You'll be able to see right through things all the time, and you'll never have a boring day. That's one of the good things. But I was looking at this poster in this house of the Foo Fighters, the band Foo Fighters, a band I can't stand now. I don't like Dave Grohl. I don't like, he's a mysterious character. But I looked at the logo all of a sudden, and it was two F's, the same kind of F's as you see on the Ford logo, that kind of flowing one. It's basically a seven, so it reverse. It was two sevens. And what's that noise?
What happened, man?
Hello, guys. How you doing? Is that Dave? David?
Rollo, go away, man. We're talking.
Just go away. All right. I'll go on mute.
Don't go on mute. Go away.
Oh, it's okay. You can hang out there. Right, hey, hey, Rick.
So I'm getting onto this. This logo, and I looked at it all of a sudden. I went, hang on, you got two F's straight away, which is 6-6, and that's you know the powerful part of that.
And then reduce that to 12, and then that's a 3.
Yeah, and that, but get this, that what, how they've got the F's with these two sets, so it's also two sevens, but they've got a devil's tail that winds around and becomes the F that creates the F, when it's literally a devil's tail with a point on the end of it. Like, and then I looked at, so it's 77 as well. So you're looking at the 66 and the 77 at the same time, and subconsciously. And 77 is the big Crowley number, big time. You know, Flight 77.
Yeah, that correct. But that just goes into the idea of the fallen senses, and that and all that goes into. It's just the Crowley's a made up character. That all that Thelma stuff is all made up nonsense. It's all repackaged Sophia nonsense.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you know, hey, you want to talk about the Exorcist, the 1970s?
Yeah.
It's interesting when I look at those, that film series, that it's the idea of you'll never see the demon or the idea of the evil looking into the future. It can see time, but only what's been in the past or what's in the present. So even through the second film or the third film, because the second film goes more into the idea of the mind, and then the third film comes back to the kind of the physical in the city. So,
the only one I'm really, I think is worth discussing is the first one. The others were, I think Richard Burton was in the third one possibly, or the second one.
He played in the second when she was at the little institute. There's a lot of interesting things in the second one, man. Forget about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, we can go through. So we just start with the first one. So William Peter Blatty wrote the novel. It was inspired by a 1949 exorcism of a guy called Roland. By coincidence, Roland Doe.
Roland Doe, and then remember, Doe is the idea of the not only the deer, but it's a female rabbit who is ready to mate. Is a doe.
Yeah. Coincidence.
So it's the idea of the just like within the Matrix, where you have the rabbit on the shoulder, or being led into a rabbit hole. That's what that means, and. That same character, if you read to the end, that character, and this is important because I say, Rick, that the least important character in the movie is Reagan.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Least important. Because if you read the actual Roland Doe story, one, he goes to to a hoax job at NASA, which is obviously a hoax, but he lives a happy life, never remembering anything. Therefore, nobody died, nobody got hurt. So then once you know that, so if that's the inspiration, there's still a story being told. What is it? So you remove Reagan as kind of just a set piece, and what characters are having a relationship, and where is there actually real information being spread? And that to me is between a couple storylines, the old priest and the young priest, Karis and Martin.
I also I find it very suspicious that the little demon is Pazuzu, the same demon that they're talking about. That's the name in this.
Yes, Pazuzu. Well, Pazuzu. Yeah, Pazuzu. It all. And here, I'm glad you said that, because I want to kind of go to the end first and then get back to your Pazuzu, because if you look at Pazuzu, it's one of the manifestations of Satan. Or the idea of the class we talked about the first week.
Yep.
Hold on, wait for this. I'm gonna do a reading.
Yep.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
You're listening
the
to
art of Dave, conversation.
Dave and Rick on the Bongversation episode 2, and we're discussing the Exorcist movie. The Exorcist movie from 1971. Was it 71? 73, the movie. 73. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. So then when the old man finds, because you have the very beginning of the movie where he's facing Pazuzu with the wild dogs, and it's a premonition of what's going to happen.
And it's in Egypt, is it? It's in the Middle East somewhere.
No, it's in Iraq. Have the kind of where he moves to where he's in a isolated space, and he's kind of just thinking on, because he knows that this next confrontation is going to happen. He doesn't know when, though. So they kind of build that up. But when he finally gets to the house, Father Karis, the character who, the young priest who has the mommy issues and all that stuff, which that part of the film I really wish they would get rid of. The Demi, why you leave me? The Demi.
Enough already.
So Karis runs off and he gets the equipment for the older priest, and he runs into the room and he goes, this is Father Karis. He goes, I think it might be helpful if I give you some background on the different personalities Reagan has manifested. So far, I say there seem to be three. She's convinced. And Father simply says, there is only one.
Well, there you go.
Because what happens is, and this is where this false idea comes from, because all they would have to walk into the room and do if they were in Christ is say, Satan, get behind me, and that child would be clean. So they go through all this rigmarole of throwing the water and this.
Pardon the phrase, but they demonized exorcisms. Exorcisms.
Well, they also made it into a chore. To when it's simply a statement.
Green vomit. Yeah.
But to exorcise someone, you simply say, Satan, get behind me.
Yeah.
You don't contend with them. They're what they're doing is they're weakening the people's faith because they think they have to trust some dude in a dress to exorcise demons from them. When in fact, demons are kind of just, they're the ideas of regrets and thoughts that come back to kind of haunt you. You know, when people say, oh, that thought comes back to haunt you, that's the idea of a demon. Because there's no one is judging the human man or woman. They're judging themselves daily, and they're bringing themselves into states of mourning or into states of love with their creator or in tune with the mind of Christ. Because it tells you that a lie cannot exist with the truth. Simply.
One of the most, when it came out, 74, right? Mm-hmm. I was 10 years, thereabouts. And I can remember seeing, you know, one of my older cousins' magazines, probably a female. It was those Donny Osmond 16. It was 16 magazine, an American pop culture for you know, teenagers. Blow me down. The whole issue was to do with The Exorcist and how wonderful this great movie. It's going to be scary and all that. And they were getting kids to go and see this movie. Now, William Peter Blatty, who wrote the novel, he was a master of psychological warfare training at the United States Air Force. He'd probably be very close friends with, you know, the guy that had the Temple of Set.
A Jesuit Catholic.
That's right.
The Catholics are the laity of the Jews, and the Jews are the laity of Satan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so in this movie that they were pushing on teenagers back in the 74, they used high-level technology to put the sound of rabbits being slaughtered and wasps attacking at a subsonic frequency that you could hear but you couldn't hear. You know what I mean, what I'm saying? So if you were sensitive to this kind of stuff, you were getting absolutely there was a lot more people traumatized by this film. It was a weapon in itself. So I had two different meanings.
Make a list. I mean, that's all like the nonsense.
Oh, no, that's true. Like Jaws. It's a known.
That's like
it's
you claim Jaws. No, I don't.
Jaws.
Is it just like with Jaws?
Do you see me going out in the water? I grew up. I was 10 when I
grew up in California, bud. And there was no change at beach. That's just cowardice, though. But there was no change in the beach activity at Malibu or Zuma or Leo Carrillo or Ventura County Line. There was no change in beach going.
Oh, no, it's not that. It's the sound.
You can't continue to. It's bad to use the narrative to try and explain the narrative, and at the end of that, actually taking on that yoke of fear
what I'll say this, my cousin who went to see the film when she was 14, she couldn't sleep for a month because it's admitted what they did to that film. They used high level mind control shit, you know, like just the noise, subsonic noise of bees attacking and rabbits being stringed. Look it up. This is a fact.
However, that she did not sleep for a month.
Oh, you know what I mean. She was traumatized. She was traumatized. Like me and sharks. I still don't like sharks, Dave. Yeah. I'm telling you. I don't like them. I don't want a shark anywhere near me.
Anyways, that's enough.
Go. Okay. And let's go back to what you were saying about the movie, the symbology that you were saying, that the exorcism was way more complicated
of course. So it's the idea of introducing the complication, which we were just talking about, actually, believing that the narrative of the narrative of the narrative. Anyways, get rid of the sharks, get rid of the baby rabbits, get rid of the bee stings, and just leave it alone. That's getting rid of the demon. That's getting rid of, because if you even associate with it, you are part of it.
Only 2% of the population would know what I just said then, because I went to research that film, and it's not common knowledge what they did. But so this isn't, people don't know what they heard. I'm telling you what they heard.
If you research something, if you look up Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes.
Look it up on Wikipedia. This
Roald Dahl.
The different characters went through the candy shop, and different things happened to them. And finally, Peter at the end became the boy who inherited everything. But guess what? That didn't actually happen. But you could look it up and research it, and you could go to a convention, and if you got it wrong, if you brought in like a Harry Potter storyline to a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory convention, they would really not enjoy you, and you might be traumatized, and you probably wouldn't be sleeping that night back at your Motel 6.
Yeah, I think subconscious attack, only if you know about it. So no one knew about it until you had to research to find it, you know, and even still they won't care.
That sounds like suppressed memory to me. It's like, oh, unless we took you back to remember something, you wouldn't have remembered it. If you go to The Exorcist 2, in fact, to go right on to that point, the first character, you have Reagan, who's older now, she's a teenager, and the therapist tells her, Reagan says, I feel fine, there's no problem. And the therapist says, no, you don't feel fine, it's in you. So it's like, so that's just what you're saying. It's the same thing. So it's like, no, so it's like, so then you, so then she gets convinced again that this thing is real, right? So then it's the idea of the, and I told you earlier about the serpent's pit, where as soon as you think, and Reagan's getting out, and then guess what? The serpent brought her back. And it wasn't these characters on the TV, and it wasn't all these different little CIA programs. It was your neighbor, and it was your so-called friend or brother or sister or whoever you're talking to brought you back into error.
I wasn't silly enough to go and see it at that age, or couldn't. I was too young. There's a lot of people got severely traumatized by that movie. Well, it's a horrible movie.
Do you want to do a GoFundMe for him? Do you want to start one? I think unless you're willing to put $20,000 into a GoFundMe, you should.
Do you think 12-year-old? You should see a 12-year-old child should go into a film and watch a little girl plunging a crucifix into a vagina, saying "Fuck me, Jesus." Do you think that's what happened in the movie. It's not the kind of thing that kids need to see. Well, anyone needs to see.
So
it's
now
psychologically,
are you,
it's real damage.
Have we
real
gone
damage.
From the actual the idea of the story to, and you're going to be a moral police, Rick? You're not going to do anything about it.
I know, but I'm telling you that was the intent of the movie. The intent of the movie was bad. Intent was bad.
Everything in this realm is bad.
Well, maybe Hollywood's made things a little bit worse.
Stop it. You need to get past that. You know that. So now then past that, what does it mean?
Well,
you already know it. They didn't intend you to feel great leaving there. So let's get past the idea that there was negative intent. That's obvious. Now then, I'm not going to, I have nothing to do with what people do with their children. So don't ever put that on me.
No. I'm saying that's the movie.
Let's just move forward.
That's the movie.
Idea of the script. All right?
Yes, that part of the script.
All of that stuff, like I told you before, was unnecessary. That's called Hollywood. Because I told you, had they been real, they wouldn't have needed all that stuff, and it would have never gotten to that point.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about that. So if you want to stay in the physical realm and talk about feelings, I think we probably need to move on. However, if you want to talk about the above that, and the,
well, we're talking about the movie, the movie Exorcist, and I was just describing scenes from that movie.
What you were doing was bearing witness for other men or women about feelings they had, which you have no idea if that is true or not. You are welcome to describe a scene, but then you tell me what you think spiritually that means to you. You're not just going to throw a corpse on me or the idea of concern and leave that.
Tell
me about it.
That's what we're discussing, the movie.
All right.
I'm just discussing the movie. All right.
Did you have something to take away from that or tell me?
I just think it was a weapon. The movie was a weapon, and it had more than one purpose. It was just one of those horrible things that they inflicted on.
Communion with Whitley Strieber is a weapon as well. X-Files is a weapon. Star Wars, weapon.
Yep.
So we're not talking about weapons. You already know what that is. So then to move past that, you look at the idea of shared narratives or shared ideas. What is the idea that's being shared in the movie Exorcist? It's that all of the characters that were offering advice were Antichrist. Had there been true Christ in the room, none of that would have happened. That's the takeaway.
Interesting that Friedkin, the director, when he filmed that film, while the actors, just like, you've seen The Shining, obviously, with how traumatized the actress was when the Kubrick kept making her do 5,000 scenes, whatever she did.
So the story goes.
Yeah. Oh, no, well, you can see it on YouTube, him just going on and on, and her eyes just bulging out of her head. Let me finish.
Second GoFundMe.
She just died. She just died. Oh,
yeah. That's another $20,000. You're up to $40,000. Excellent.
Friedkin did the exact same technique to keep everyone on edge during they were filming the movie by firing guns. Let me finish my story. I'm finishing my story. He was firing guns. He was making the cast do ridiculous things. And so both actresses ended up with bad injuries because they were forced to do strange acrobatics to get the shot right. Oh, directors do weird things. Dave, I've seen a lot of films being filmed, sat and watched it, man. They do some strange things.
I don't believe any of that story you just told me.
Oh, look it up. That was the making of the film. You can actually watch The Shining, the cast being harassed by
Spiritual idea of Shining? Did you have anything to share about that?
Oh, there's too. We have to talk about that another day. It's too much.
Okay.
You talk about communion.
Well, have you seen it before?
I've read the book. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's the idea of the hoax of alien abduction and anal probation. you're put on anal probation as soon as you get on the ship.
I never put those two words together, but yeah, anal probation, yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, So Whitley, unfortunately, I'm sorry, not Whitley, the one who plays
Whitley's the author. Whitley's the author.
He's the one who claims to have gone through it for real, and Whitley Strieber plays him in the movie. And then Christopher Walken with that weird face, he looked like when he was doing that scene, like he would have done it like two or three more times. he was enjoying it, but go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, didn't Christopher Walken also, by coincidence, have that scene in when he appears in I think it's Pulp Fiction, where he had the watch up his ass? You know, he kept the father's watch up his ass while he was imprisoned in the Vietnam prison. There was a joke of a script thing that typical of
They call that a recurring theme. Like when you watch the word, if you've ever seen the show Psych, the TV show Psych, there's a pineapple. No. There's a pineapple in every episode somewhere.
It carries a narrative. Yeah.
And somebody will be carrying in the background or whatever. But I did want to say before I forget that Christopher Walken, the idea of communion is it's the idea of demon possession and the acceptance of that in the end. Just like with 1984, where the character goes back into the system in the end, the Strieber or the Christopher Walken character in the end, it fully accepts the fact that he is possessed. Because as you watch the movie, the costuming, he's wearing the Saturn hat at the beginning, which is kind of short. But it gets bigger in the middle of the movie, the scene. And at the beginning, he's such a schmuck. He's walking, oi, vey, what's going on? You know, the pastrami. It's good. He sounds like a New York Jew. It's like, what are you doing? So if you can deal with that type of weird accent, because all the characters play it, then you can watch it. But it's something else. But it's not the idea of alien invasion, but it's the idea of demon possession. So if you watch it and just skip the dumb stuff. But if you watch the actual little bits where they're giving you the story, it's more of demon possession. Or
Well, don't you think the whole X-Files and all of this gunk, black goo gunk, is all demon possession for sure.
Yeah, because the biggest scene other than the anal probation scene is the light to the head scene, the light needle to the head. That's the idea of putting it into the mind. And then when he comes back, he has ideas, right? So then those are implanted ideas or the idea of a...
Do you know much about Whitley Strieber and his other stuff that he's done and his background and stuff like that? Because it's very mysterious. But, you know, he was also a graduate of the London School of Economics, like Mick Jagger. He was a no ordinary guy. You know, he was a very interesting person to look into.
He did some horror novels, The Wolfen and Hunger, right?
That's right.
He's a high-level government agent.
Yeah.
Be told. Be told. He's a high-level government agent.
Yeah. He's a high-level government agent. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Anyone that goes, and you know, who else went to that school? That hideous old toad, what's his name? The one behind that. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's a big player of world affairs. And he went to London School of Economics, just like Mick Jagger, who's another bullshit artist pretending to be a Cockney on the streets rock and roll singer when he's way more smarter than that. But yeah, anyway, go on. So communion is communion. That's well worth seeing if you like to be entertained by kind of schlocky, as you say, schlocky.
Christopher Walken stuff. The Dead Zone. I thought he was better.
Yeah,
I thought he was really he was really pimping that camp.
Hang on. After the break.
Yeah.
No matter what your age, you're listening to Conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Listening to Dave and Rick, Dave J and Rick on the truthmeets.com. We're listening to Bongversations number two. Number two. And we've been discussing the three. And we've been discussing incantations. And we've been discussing The Exorcist and communion. And do you want to keep talking about communion, or is there another movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Remember that? It's like they come all the way from space and then they blow the last note and all the glass breaks. Remember that? It's like, you idiots, you came all the way over here and broke our glass.
But not a bad movie back in the day. You know,
The thing is, it's got what's his nuts in there. Dreyfus. I didn't buy him in Jaws, I didn't buy him in this. He looked like a little weirdo. But anyway, so I got past that, and then so they had the kind of the iconic scene of him building the mashed potato mountain.
Don't you reckon that could be a giant tree trunk? You know, that actual mountain. Have you been there? I've never been there, of course.
No, I've looked into that idea, and the big tree thing is all BS. Think of that more as the idea of a wart on the skin. Well, because the Earth body. Will look in part like the human body in some point. So then, instead of a tree, that's more of a wart.
What about the devil's marbles in Australia? They're perfectly round stones that sitting balancing on each other near the Warren Bungles. Incredible. I mean, how the fuck did that happen? Unless that someone made them and left them there.
Yeah, they're not perfectly round. I see what they are, though. They were obviously moved there. And They're obviously moving there. Just looking at it. They're obviously
I'd like to see how they got the equipment over there.
It's called leverage, man. Come on. You know, what happens is if you've ever watched these shows where it's the ancient Egypt and all the nonsense stuff, because there was no ancient Egypt culture. But just so you know, what they're going to do is the first couple minutes, they're going to bang into your head how this could never happen. Don't you even think about it. If you even think about figuring out how this was done, you'd be a fool, because you and your worthless family tree couldn't figure out. And so they give you this whole, so you're like, oh, 2 minutes in, you're like, oh my goodness, you know, we could never do this.
Well, you know the shows that talk about that in search of Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World. There was a whole group of them that just focused on these things. The crystal skull.
That annoyed me. The In Search Of annoyed me, even as a kid, because I'd be like, okay, I'm watching this thing. It brings up Nimoy's on the screen, and he's telling you this story. I'm like, okay, we're going to figure this thing out. I'm looking at it. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking at I'm thinking, we're getting kind of close. This show's almost over. And then he starts hemming and hawing. Then he starts saying,
There was no solutions.
And I'm like, why did you waste my time? And I'm stomping off as a kid down the hallway. Are you kidding me? I was like, dude, I'm steaming that. And I'm like, Leonard Nimoy, you liar.
All those shows came out the same time. We had this, it was, say, the Bermuda Triangle stuff, nonstop. Do you remember how saturated that was in the news? Now, what's happened? Did it move and disappear?
Well, Oak Island, another one, the Templars. The geographical points that they dictate as Bermuda's Triangle have not gone away. Just when people don't talk about a story in the news, it's out of sight, out of mind. But it brought back at any moment. Every couple of weeks, they find something new. Hey, look over here, guys.
If they need to get rid of Kamala Harris or Donald Trump in the future, they may bring out the old Bermuda Triangle, just have their plane disappear in the Bermuda Triangle, and that will spark off constant, almost, I reckon, 50, another Kennedy-level news operation.
Yeah, people are so dingy now.
They love this stuff, though. They love this stuff. The mysterious right world.
They can walk them right off the stage and just not tell them anything. And just say, oh, yeah, what happened to that was yesterday, friend.
Yeah.
Today's a new day. This is the person that you're supposed to be looking at.
Yeah.
Pay attention. And you go, oh, okay, yay.
That one over there. The one over there with the funny hat on.
Vote harder.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Stop it. Yeah, fantastic.
All right. So, that's great. So, what else you got? Why don't you tell me about that bookstore, if you don't mind?
Which one?
The one that you kind of go to and you say you find
I find things in markets. I go to. Uh-huh. I do not buy. There is a great bookstore that I like going to kill time. It's a kilometer. Interesting book. Kinokuniya Books in Sydney, biggest bookshop in Australia. It's a Japanese chain. Everything that you could even be, like stuff that you'd be discussing here, there'd be a book on it, guaranteed. Maybe not your book, but a book. It's fantastic. I just find books in, you know, secondhand shops where someone's just got rid of it and I find it. I don't often buy new books. I love books.
My little book has the little code in the back to where if any bookstore types it in, they can order it.
There you go. It's
also the Library cover. Of Congress. Or at least it was sent to them. I don't know if they threw it in the garbage or if they put it in the actual.
what do you reckon?
It doesn't matter.
If you register something though, they have to keep it, don't they?
At least to the point of dropping it off, I would say that the contract ends once it's been delivered.
Mm. All right. Well, how about we move on to we're talking about a strain or two, a strain of Sensimilia or cannabis sativa.
Right. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, this is with hands down the easiest, the best. It's called Super Silver Haze.
Super Silver Haze.
Yeah, Super Silver Haze. So just like it sounds. And the idea, or SSH is or SS Haze.
Oh, shh. That's what it says.
And it's the idea of it's skunk crossed with northern lights crossed with haze. Those are.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing with butt heads, not butt heads, but bud heads, like heads. The buds of the flower.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the sour grape is ripening in the flower, that's Isaiah 18, baby. And then for I will take my rest and like a clear heat upon herb, like a dew in the heat of harvest. See, so then it's the idea of relaxing. It says, so then
isn't skunk a way more, as it was always known as one of the most potent strains.
Oh, well, yeah, skunk is, that's like what you smell at high school. It's the smell that you're used to. If pepper, you're your
pepper,
age.
Is it peppery, or is that just normal? Because I don't remember the
peppery.
That's maybe just a normal strain.
It's more of a sour, earthy kind of smell.
Yeah,
it's skunky.
That's why they call it skunk. Yeah.
You kind of feel it at the top of your nose, if that makes sense, when you sniff it. And then the Northern Lights gives it a real nice, like a pungent smell. And then the haze is what is when you take it. Have you ever heard of cheesing? Like just smiling, you're cheesing. Okay, well, that it's cheesing. As soon as you inhale it, you got this like the sour citrus exhale.
Yeah.
As you're letting it out, you got the sour citrus right on your tongue.
I like that. Man. You're giving it's like wine. Right. It's like a wine tasting. You're giving the notes or a coffee the sour citrus. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Very good.
And what I like about the Super Silver Haze bud is it grows up really fat. I don't know if you know what cattails are. It's like it's a water reed. To where if you hit it, all the little pieces pop out. It's just like it explodes. I would have to show you in a video, but it's a water plant. But it's called the Super Silver Haze grows very very fat, and so you're able to pinch off big bits of it and leave the stem behind because, you know, sticks and stems are good for oil soaking, but not so good for consumption because it will give it a little bit more of a chlorophyll taste or a little bit more barky, like bark, like tree barky.
Yeah.
You can kind of taste. So I just picked the flower bit off. So what's nice is that when you have the silvery kind of like really blinging crystal, the trichomes on Super Silver Haze, it really bounces off the color of the flower.
Been around? Is it sounds like a very complicated process to get all those three in balance.
It's been around since I've been in when I first started, which was the early 2000s.
Do you read High Times? Did you read High Times? No, that was a big magazine though back in the day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did submit a few of my photos to them. However,
there's something dodgy about them. I do seem to remember. I can't remember what, but and anyone that produces a high glossy magazine that gets distributed around the world has usually got some kind of backing. Because it was an every news agent, and I'm talking about New Zealand, Australia, you know, where I've seen, probably in England as well. Huge.
You know what's nice about the Super Silver Haze is it the effect it has. It's great for at the end of the day because it helps you with the idea of fatigue. So if your body's fatigued and you smoke some Super Silver Haze, or take it, you can take it other ways as well. You can you can vape it in a vaping bag.
Really?
There's different ways. To do that, you can even eat it if you want to.
Cook with it?
Just straight up eat it. All of it goes in, but all of it manifests or it's going to display differently. The fastest way, obviously, is through a concentrated oil. That's the fastest way.
Where did Northern Lights come from? Was that the strain from India or like the original? Because there's obviously it's a huge herb.
It comes from some Afghani strains. You know, that really gets kind of nerdy. I don't tend to worry too much about kind of going back, but it does go back to Afghani strains. And Afghani is a very nice plant because it's easy to grow, and it has a very nice color to it. Afghani is real nice. I do like Afghani. I like there's so many I like, but it's kind of.
Well, I think you should. That's a book for you and yourself. Yeah. I would say for Dave J's book of the pocketbook of marijuana, pocketbook of pot.
They used to have a strain called Green Crack, and the name got changed because people confused kind of what it, it was. I think what did they call it? Green Crush or something crazy like that. But anyway, when I first ran into it, it was called Green Crack, and it has very kind of yellow or orangish, goldish yellow hairs on a very green flower. And the smell is outstanding. It's another one that kind of helps you focus on if you're kind of more of a, if you have anxiety naturally. This is one of those that will help you out. I had a Green Crack Off, and to where I bought several bags from around town of their Green Crack strain where they grew, and I had a sports style bracket system to where I had a Green Crack. I smoked this one. It turns out at the end they all won, man. They all won. They were all wonderful, man.
Fantastic.
It was great. Oh, but that's a beautiful flower too. It's really nice. Really nice. So that's kind of the way that those, I think I only deviated really when I was talking about the Green Crack as far as relationship to the Super Silver Haze. Otherwise, you have Haze, which kind of, where that comes from, I'm not quite sure where that originates from. I just know that it makes you feel happy. It just takes,
I told you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I told you that story when I was in New Zealand back in my youth. We had a friend of mine had a part-time job for a guy who was an ex-US Navy officer, and he was a teacher. He was a maths biology teacher at the girls' college. Uh-huh. And he had a side business. He was making this thing called a Magna Wave. And I went around there and met the guy. He was 20 years older than us, and he had guys iron, it was a block of wood, and he was ironing like a plastic, a wooden veneer over the top to make it look more presentable. But inside it was just a copper wire winding downwards, and you could put it next to your TV or your radio and it boosts the signal by, 50 to 100%. He was making a fortune. But anyway, he got to telling us, and I didn't believe him at first. It was only 15, 16. He said when he was in the Navy, he worked exclusively. They were researching marijuana growth and for a commercial means. And he said they were on an island in Fiji where they were grafting it with hops. He said that was the only, that was the most successful plant they could graft it with. And I thought US Navy, marijuana, but he was pretty much genuine guy.
They're very close to, they're very closely related, the hops and the cannabis.
So he was, now,
because hops are what you're going to be adding to make your fermented beer products, obviously. So, and I've also, in the past, I made Bud beer. I used to make homemade or home brewed beer for once a year release, and when
fantastic.
I was in Tracy, this was back, and I would dry hop it with Bud instead of I would use the hops in the boil in what's called the wort, but I would then after once I started bubbling a bit in the carboy, in the glass carboy, 5-gallon carboy, I would then once I saw it bubbling through the bubbler, I would then go ahead and dry hop it with on a 5 gallon, I would do 2 ounces of bud, dry hop it. What that yep. does is it then soaks into the beer during the carbonation process, and then you strain it for bottling.
So you would get a high of what kind of level from a bottle?
It's like most edibles. You're going to have it manifests in a way that is body felt to me.
I like it. Why don't you? Yeah. You could become a billionaire with this recipe, Dave.
I'm not after money. So
no, neither am I.
It's against my deal, man.
Neither am I. And that's why we're not asking for any money here. We're not asking. Yeah. We're not behind any paywalls. We're just out here telling the truth for free. Free truth. Well, and some great recipes.
I gave away the process to make those. You saw the pictures of the wax I made?
Oh.
Okay, I gave that process away to a guy. Just because it's if you know how to do it, show it, and then that dude can do his thing with it.
Yeah, you got to pass on lineage. You've got to pass on knowledge. Yeah.
And he has the motivation to do it, because he wouldn't have had the motivation to create the process. Or to just think about what you're trying to do and then use what's already there available for you. That's all I did. I'm like, what am I trying to get at the end result? How do I get there? And then just what best gets me there? That's why I came up with the vacuum process and stuff like that.
So
once you tell somebody once you give them the prestige and you explain it, the idea of the resolution of the movie, then they're like, okay, I can take that. If they have the motivation to run with it, they have to have that or it will fail. But if they have the motivation, once they're given at least that much of a head start, yeah, they're off. They know how to do it. They're off. They're great. And that's kind of what I did in the Philippines as far as helping getting those businesses going.
Yeah, that's a real credit to you, Dave. Yeah. That's called being a human being, you know, and helping out people with your knowledge of engineering and such.
And
I think you're
a bit
of an alchemist. And you're an alchemist.
Yeah.
You're an engineer and alchemist. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it all comes from just wanting to know why something is what it is.
Mm.
You know, instead of saying, okay, I'm just going to consume this product, I want to know how that product is.
After the break.
Be back.
No matter what you're in.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
The art of conversation. Beautiful, a beautiful, puffy, cloudy day in Australia. And kangaroos hopping away in the background. Well, I can't see any, but that's certainly around me. Let me just tell you there. Down on the golf course, we're talking to Dave J talking about a wonderful strain. Super Silver Haze, yeah.
And the last bit we haven't talked about was the skunk, which was really kind of the first part I started about. And that is, you know, it's grown quite a few places, but it's thought to revert or to come from Holland, which is where it originated, so.
Did it? And that would be right too, because they really, really know their stuff over there in Amsterdam, you know, all the cafes where you can go and pick up your whatever variety you like and sit there and drop mushrooms, do whatever you like. Very laid back place. Mm.
Yeah, no surprise. Mushrooms as well.
Oh, yes. Another big thing. It's a big up and coming thing. But believe it or not, they just had a huge, huge bust up near my place, apparently. Not near my place, but of there were people manufacturing mushrooms, apparently. And they got,
you grow them. You grow them.
Oh, no. I don't
manufacture a plant.
You grow it. That's right. Yeah. That's the term that they use, though, don't they? They love to put a new term. Manufactured. Manufact. There you go. There'll be something in that for sure.
Anyways, so the good news about that is that if you do decide to grow mushrooms, they're very easy, and you will get a big return for your investment. They just start coming out And then, and the best way to dry them is right on parchment paper under a fan. And you blow the fan on them and don't try to move them too much because you can actually bruise them, bruise black and blue.
Wow.
Don't move them too much. Yeah.
Good time.
Lay them on the parchment paper and just let that, that fan go across them for at least 3 days. But then once they get to the consistency that you like, the dehydration state, they're going to hold their shape. They're just going to look a lot smaller, but they're going to be the really packageable. I mean, when you put them in a baggie, they look good.
Mm. In Thailand's fantastic. I was there on a magnificent island at Koh Phangan, mm-hmm. whatever it's called, and on full lunar eclipse, massive dance party in the year 2000. And you just go up to the little bars everywhere and they just say, what do you want? Which milkshake do you want? And how strong do you want it? And for $2, $3, you're flying. Flying. Yeah. Fantastic. What a life. Well, that was a great night, that one, I'll be told.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've had three or four grows, I guess, maybe five total. Let me think. One, two.
Do you know, can you tell me, that there's so many different grows. Strains, though, speaking of strains. There's the blue one. Is it blue? There's something blue from the Holland.
Penis envy.
Could be.
Penis envy. Is blue.
Is it blue? Okay.
Yeah. At least five. Here's the thing is when you can grow several strains together, they don't care because you're doing them in pucks, in your meal, whatever you're going to grow the medium in. Because they're going to take the shape of the mason jar you put them in, the glass jar. It takes that shape once the colony is formed.
Why do they call it a mason jar?
Probably because the mason came up with it.
There you go. Perfect answer. Ta-ting, ta-ding.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Sound effect.
So it keeps that shape. Really, any way you form it, you can use any type of. You just need to remember that the neck has to not be tapered, because you got to pull the whole thing out in one. So you can't use a tapered neck. The packing bottle, whatever brand you want to use, has to be a wide mouth. So what you do is once you inject the spores of whatever strain you pick up, you can, in the States here, you can get it right off the internet. So you inject it into the medium. After a month in just a closet, you will see the what looks like a root system or a circuit system. Once that is fully white, the whole jar looks white. You pop it right out of the jar and you set it down onto perlite. Do you like garden? You know gardening perlite. You know what perlite is?
Yes.
Okay, so you build a little platform of perlite in a container, like a storage container, a plastic storage container. You put your little you put them down upside down, and you put an airflow machine from a fish tank works well to pump air into that container because you want the lid on. You don't want a lot of light, and then. What you do is you just mist them every single day, a couple times a day with just clean water, mist. All of a sudden, those things start popping out. As soon as they pop out, before the hood fully opens, because what happens is if the hood fully opens, there's a veil underneath the head. And if it opens, they're still good. But what happens is they get dirty. They get dirty looking because all the spores come out. So they can get kind of that black, dark looking towards the head. Yep. To me, I like to pick them right before the head opens, or the canopy opens is a better term. And then I lay them out and I dry them, because then you consume not only the full mushroom, but you consume all of its seed, all of its spore.
Well,
you see, you get all of it. And the biggest and seven, you know what I know? I talk about seven. So my biggest dosage was 7 grams all at once. What a night.
What did you see and who came to talk to you? That's what I'd like to know, because
I'll tell you a few. Here's what happened first, and this was the main point, and I was shown the main point directly in first. I was shown just a white space, and I'm looking from, you know, a first person view out of my own eyes at this white space. Then a row of idols on both sides are just form like files going, and they were tall, huge. And I'm looking up at them, but I walked forward knowing that they had no power. And then I looked at the base of each one, and I saw that there was a little demon or a little elf who was peeking out from behind each one, knowing that it had lost its power over me. And then as I walked forward through these idols, they all almost, have you ever seen a pole in the ground that's meant to go up and down into the ground? If you press a button, it will retract.
Yes. They've got those cut. They're all around the place to stop for the government buildings. Yeah.
So these idols just retracted into the ground and became out of my way. And then I walked into peace. It just became what was a light. And then I came back into this place now, the place I was laying. And I knew what that meant. And then I saw my cat, and my cat was meow, 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 just going nuts. And
you probably see the elves hopping around you.
And then I went to pet the cat, and I could see the connection, like threads, from my fingers to the cat. And the cat, as I moved, her hair would move with how I moved my from a distance. And then she was loving it. She was jumping around and just, you know, like they'll stand on their back feet, loving, and I was loving it. It was great.
Interesting you should say cat and a mushroom story, because I know a guy who had very similar experience to you, just exact, very similar. He was in Thailand in a reggae bar on Koh Samui, and he took, when they asked for the mushroom, and they said, how strong do you want it? He took the triple shot of whatever the strongest one. And he said he was sitting there off his head in the corner, and there was a guy next to him. And they both turned around and talked about a cat. And this other guy said, yes, he there was something about a cat that he was thinking at the same time. And they were going, that can't have been, that the guy had the same thought in his head about a cat. That's just
a Keanu Reeves movie where he was sitting in the chair. And he would have to get shocked to go fight demons. Constantine. Do you remember how you said, give me the cat because they're half in and half out?
Interesting. Yeah. And I'll just tell you another, this popped into my head, as these thought forms be told. Mm-hmm. My sister was working for a kind of a psych facility where there was outpatients, you know, people that lived out, they weren't in this facility, they've kicked them all out and they live in a community home. And one of the guys there was, he was a Maori guy, and he could see what he saw, jumpers. He called them jumpers, and he said, they're little people jumping in and out of people. And he said, he could see them. He said, you've got one hanging out of your back now. He could see in her back there was these little things jumping around. And he referred to them as jumpers.
Mm. Yeah. Well, do you know jumpers literally going to the idea of electricity, the idea of a jumper, like cable. A cable, is a connection. Yeah, so, yeah, I can see the connection, too. Let me tell you what happened one time at HempCon. So I'm at HempCon.
HempCon.
I'm at HempCon, and I'm running my table. I have a table there. I have a whole business going. I've got bags where you have a quarter eighth. You got a candy. You got a 0.3 gram of hash, and you got a pre-roll, all for $45. I'm standing there, and then all of a sudden, Rick, time turns down, slows down. People are still walking, but everyone around me has slowed down. But my person, I can turn at my normal speed.
Yep.
I'm looking at the people walking by me. And not everyone. Some people were regular. However, those who were possessed, I could see. And how I could see them is because they were walking forward. I could see their human face, but it looked like a jelly mold over their face was looking over at me.
Interesting.
And it wasn't just one person. It was several. And then guess what? Time comes back, and it was gone. And everything returned back to speed. But what's also interesting is that the time that was happening, the space in front of me was left clear to where I had no distraction. It was as if it was a presentation.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And
then, you've clearly seen stuff. I'll just say this. You've seen stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have done a lot of hallucinogens and things like that. Mm-hmm. They see things. A lot of people can't comprehend it, and this is the problem. They've got they're out of their pay grade with these hallucinogens. Other people, though, in the village, there was always that one witch doctor. There wasn't 50 witch doctors all dropping troops. One witch doctor did it because he had the knowledge, you know, the shaman. So you should be called Dave Shaman. That would make a great name, because you've seen the stuff and you can comprehend it and understand it, whereas you don't go mad, where a lot of people do go mad after dropping that many, you know, particularly mushrooms can do it as well sometimes.
If you go to Luke 120, if you go to Luke 1 and if you start at 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled when he tarried so long in the temple. I mean, think of the temple as the mind or the idea of tarrying or being in one's thought.
Speaking of threes.
Three. And now going to the 22, which is a lead in for next show, which is the idea of four. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, those being the people. And they, the people, perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he had beckoned unto them and remained speechless. So that's the idea. So there is the idea of being able to sense when someone has seen something.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So I love it. Well, on that note, I think we'll wind it up because I've got stuff to do, but it was a really, really good show, Dave. Really good show. Absolutely.
Cheers.
Yeah, and we'll end it with I'll pick a song this week, and I'm going to send it into Bellis. It'll be the Psychedelic Warlords Disappear in Smoke, just to kind of cover the last part of the show. Okay. Dave, pleasure. Yeah. I'll see you in the green room for a chat.
For sure. I'll see you in a minute,
dude. I'm really loving these shows, man.
Yeah, you can outro this, and I'll be right in there.
All right, thanks. That was Dave J. And me on a beautiful Sunday with real clouds above my head. So beautiful. Big cotton wool puffs discussing all sorts of stuff. Went all up, we could have gone all over the place, but it went fantastic. So we'll see you next week for episode 3, and it's going to be about 4. That's a fact. I'll see you then.
We'll be right back.